voodoo forces. When two quantum entities interact, they become intermingled in such a way as to remain forever linked together, joined together at the hip, so to speak. Exhibiting a form of contagious magic, each seems to telepathically know what the other is doing. Once connected, their wave functions become phase entangled with each other, such that there are no longer two independent wave functions, but one which encompasses both quantum entities forevermore. After their interaction, each one leaves part of themselves with the other, leaving behind traces on each other. At that point, they are no longer separate in the way that they once seemed to be. In fact, even when separated by vast amounts of space and time, they behave in concert, as if they were one entity. Their quantum telepathy is due to the fact that they are not and have never been separate. Seeing quantum entities as separate is a delusion, an artifact of our limited, classically conditioned perspective. In actuality, there is just the underlying, unified, information-filled quantum field giving rise to transitory patterns which from one perspective may appear to be distinct entities, but which ultimately are expressions of a singular and indivisible field. Speaking of their enduring non-local entanglement, what Schrödinger calls the central mystery of quantum physics, Schrödinger writes, "I would not call that one, but rather the characteristic trait of quantum mechanics, the one that enforces its entire departure from classical lines of thought. Moreover, quantum entities do not exist in isolation, but are always coupled with an environment, the measuring apparatus, the mind of the physicist, as well as the rest of the universe. The system which is treated by the methods of quantum mechanics is in fact always and necessarily part of a much bigger system. The act of measurement, in Wheeler's words, the act of turning potentiality into actuality, is not a private affair, but a public event in which the whole universe participates. What if the quantum system under investigation is the whole universe, in which case there is nothing outside of itself to interact with? In Wheeler's words, there is no circumferential highway which would allow us to observe our universe from the outside. In other words, there is no external position from which to contemplate the universe. We are of the universe. There is no inside, no outside. This is what is meant by oneness. A oneness in which the whole universe, including ourselves, is contained. If we think of the whole universe not in relative terms, what would it be relative to? But in absolute terms, there is no place outside of it. How do we get outside the absolute, where we could take a stance to describe it? For if we could get outside of it, it wouldn't be absolute. One of the key lessons of quantum theory is that we are a part of the nature we seek to understand. No matter how much we scrutinize something seemingly outside of ourselves, such as physical objects made of matter, we are ultimately the subject of our own investigation. Quantum physics shows us that there is no inside versus outside when it comes to the ultimate reality of ourselves and the things of the world. The entire material world is essentially made of the same mysterious essence as we are. Everywhere we look, within and without, we only find our own self-nature assuming a vast diversity of differing forms, functions, and aspects. In inquiring into the world of the quantum, we are ultimately confronted with our own true face. If, as quantum physics tells us, the whole universe is quantum to its core, this suggests that the universe is inseparably phase-entangled with itself, as, ultimately, there is no part of itself that the universe is not non-locally connected with. This entanglement brings us face to face with a fact that what seems far off in space and time might be closer than our heartbeat. The quantum field is instantaneously interconnected with the totality of itself at each and every moment. This holistic perspective helps us understand David Bohm's words, "I'm saying that everything is the observer, and everything is the observed." Each and every non-separate part and particle of the universe is synchronized, orchestrated, and coordinated with the states and movements of every other part and particle in such a way that there is no lag time in information transmitting itself across space. Space, and the distance that it implies, does not pose any obstacle to the correlation of quantum states for the simple reason that the universe is actually one singular, indivisible system. The seemingly separate parts are a false appearance that occurs only within our minds as a result of our infirm viewpoint. Interestingly, the word infirm simultaneously connotes both sickness, infirmity, as well as being in a firm or rigid, fixed perspective. Quantum physics can serve as a medicine that helps us to correct the distortion in our materialist myopia. Its medicinal effect is particularly unique and has its own mode of healing, which can be called, in true quantum style, participatory medicine. In order to receive its benefits, we have to engage and participate with it through our efforts to understand what it is revealing to us. Non-locality is an expression of the indivisible wholeness of the universe. It represents an observable and measurable indication of the deeply singular and unitary nature of the cosmos, despite its apparent physical diversity. In a quantum universe such as ours, the universe is a unity, one big entangled state composed of its interdependent constituent parts. Just like the whole contains its parts, each part contains and is not separate from the whole. Thinking of these parts as separate has nothing to do with the reality of things, but is purely a fabrication of the mind that does not correspond to the actuality of the world. A separate entity is encountered only in thought, and is never found in reality. The quantum world has never heard of or experienced space or time, as if in some strange way a quantum entity thinks of itself as always being in one place at the same time, a place that is not localizable, because it is, in a sense, everywhere at once. For example, a photon of light traveling from point A to point B does so from its point of view in no time, meaning that in some sense, the two points aren't actually separate. The separation is only apparent as an artifact of the way we've been conditioned to view things. From the photon's perspective, it is not moving at all, but simply standing still. At the speed of light, the beginning and the end of the light ray are separated by neither time nor space. All of space shrinks to a single point. From the photon's perspective, distance has no place in its existence, and all of time collapses to an instant, a single instant in which, paradoxically, everything that has ever happened and ever will happen takes place. In the realm of light, therefore, there is no before or after, there is only now. Interestingly, while light does not experience space or time in its own reference frame, it is the measurement of light that defines space and time in ours. In our reference frame, we experience ourselves as moving very slowly compared to the speed of light, and yet the matter composing our bodies, which provides the locus for our conventional human frame of reference, is itself composed of nothing but crystallized light, which is in its vibratory essence always moving at light speed. So light and light speed are inescapable fundamentals in the structure and construction of the universe. Matter, and the appearance of a sub-light speed frame of reference that accompanies it within space-time, are secondary derivatives from the fundamental universal frame of reference of light itself. Another interesting feature of light is that it can never be caught up with and overtaken. Like the horizon, no matter how fast we go, it is always the same distance away. Similarly, we can never catch in our grasp the elusive quantum. The elementary particles that make up the quantum realm appear to be involved in a continual, never-ending exchange of information. Transcending the conventional third-dimensional rules of space and time, non-local interaction is characterized by instant informational exchange, where one part of the universe, in no time whatsoever, outside of time, appears to interact, affect, and communicate with another part of the universe in an immediate, unmitigated, and unmediated way. Imagine, in baseball terminology, a throw from deep center field to home plate. Only the outfielder is on the other side of the universe, and the ball takes 0 seconds to arrive. To quote Houston Smith, if both mind and matter are non-local, we are on our way to regaining what was lost in Newton's time, a complete whole world in which we can live complete whole lives, in the awareness that we are more interrelated than we had thought. Non-locality's action at a distance is an expression of an underlying and outflowing information-filled field which connects and inextricably links every part of the universe with every other part in no time. For something to be non-local in terms of space is to be omnipresent. Non-locality, according to Henry Stapp, could be the most profound discovery in all of science. The recognition that our universe is non-local has more potential to transform our conceptions of the way things are, including who we are, than any previous discovery in the history of science. Being that quantum physics is the most accurate means of describing how atoms turn into molecules, and since molecular relationships are the basis of all chemistry, and chemistry is the basis of all biology, entanglement and non-locality could well be the secret to life itself. The non-locality of the universe is a reflection of a part of our nature that is likewise unlimited. Jung comments, "I simply believe that some part of the human self or soul is not subject to the laws of space and time." The non-locality of our universe is reflected in the realm of psyche. Speaking of the collective unconscious, Jung comments that it seems to be like an omnipresent continuum, an unextended everywhere. That is to say, when something happens here at point A, which touches upon or affects the collective unconscious, it has happened everywhere. The implication is that when any of us becomes more awake to the unconscious within ourselves, the quanta of consciousness registers throughout and thereby changes the whole universe. The seemingly separate parts of the universe are connected in such a way as to non-locally, over inconceivably vast distances of space and time, influence and provide instantaneous feedback for each other, as if telepathically communicating with each other faster than the speed of light. This is another aspect of quantum reality that greatly troubled Einstein, what he referred to as spooky action at a distance. The superluminal, greater than the speed of light, interaction seemingly involved in a non-local universe is not any form of interaction we are familiar with, as it doesn't involve any expenditure of energy or exchange of information in the conventional manner. And yet, innumerable experiments in physics have all conclusively shown that what Einstein derided as voodoo forces do indeed exist, at least as much as we do.